my running friend. This is Coach Claire Barthelic, the Planted Runner, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, one of the first and only running podcasts dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of running coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as running coaching plans to fit every runner and every budget. If you've been running for a while and you're still improving, you're probably doing a lot of things right. You've learned to take your easy days easy. You run fast once or twice a week. You've built the endurance to handle solid long runs. And you understand the importance of good recovery, sleep, and nutrition. But what comes next? How do you advance from being a good runner to a really good runner? You're not a beginner runner anymore, and you're ready to take it to the next level and stretch to your potential. On today's Run to the Top, I'm going to go over how to step it up a notch. I'll cover how to break through a running plateau when your performance is stuck, how to safely accelerate your training to reach new milestones, and what warning signs to look out for as you advance. I'll also share my own story of how I was able to break out of a nearly 2-year marathon plateau and finally run a sub-3 marathon. Quick shout out to akrunner.lea, who suggested this topic in her 5-star review of the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've got a running topic that you'd like me to take on in a future show, you'll definitely get my attention and appreciation with your review. And later on in this episode, I'll reveal this week's secret code word that unlocks all kinds of Runners Connect goodies for listeners. So be sure to keep your ears perked up for that. One of the most exciting times for me as a runner was when I realized, hey, I'm pretty good at this. I'd run a couple of marathons at that point, and I was getting better and better at it. Every race was a new PR, and it was just thrilling to imagine how far I could take this. In the progression from my first marathon finish of 4:02 to my last marathon at 2:58, my improvement in finish times was huge at the beginning. I shaved off 22 minutes between my first and second, 12 minutes between my second and third, and then 15 more minutes between the third and the fourth. And then I got stuck. I finished the Chicago Marathon in a high 3:11 and change, and only shaved off about 30 more seconds in Boston the following year, still coming in at 3:11. It would take me another full year to improve, and then an additional year after that to finally get my dream goal of a sub-3 marathon finish at age 42. I'll tell you exactly how I was able to do that later on in the show, but let's get back to you first. If you're beyond the beginning stage of endurance running and are ready to get stronger and faster, the first thing I have to tell you is enjoy it. When your fitness is at a point where you can really enjoy a good run, it's such an amazing feeling. The next thing to do is look at how you got here and if everything is still working. If you're still improving, you might not need to make a whole lot of changes. Simply having more experience as a runner and as a racer will make you a better runner. To a point. Next up is your mileage. Endurance running is, in its most simplistic terms, all about endurance. So the more you run, the better your endurance will be. Again, to a point. Your body can't handle big jumps in mileage, or at least not for any length of time. So adding mileage is best done gradually over seasons. A nice progression would be to look at your average weekly volume over the past year and then add 5 to 10 miles to that over the next year. So if you typically run 30 miles a week, start to bump that up so your average is 35 or 40 for the year. Don't do it all at once or all in 1 week, but just a little at a time. If your easy run day is 4 miles, for example, bump one of those up to 5 miles. Then in a couple weeks, bump up another easy run up to 5 miles. Over several weeks, all of your new normal easy runs are now 5 miles instead of 4. Another way to add mileage is to add a running day. If you currently run 4 days a week, try adding another short, easy run day. Don't increase your mileage or intensity on your other days until you know that you've easily adapted to the extra day, which could be a few weeks or even a few months. The next piece of the mileage equation is your long run. For every distance below the marathon, you want your long run to be longer than the race you're training for to really smash those plateaus. For the 5K, your long run should be at least 7 miles, 10 miles for the 10K, and half marathoners, you should be logging in a few 15 milers at the end of your training cycle. Once you get to the marathon distance, your long run should be at the range of 18 to 22 miles. Some runners are just naturally able to handle more miles, while others reach their stopping point at a much lower number. Part of that is probably due to genetics, but I would argue that a lot of what makes a runner better able to handle the miles is all the stuff you do outside the run. Strength training, mobility, good sleep, good nutrition, enough recovery, and stress management. They're all key factors in your ability to handle the miles without injury and burnout. So make sure you have a good handle on those as the miles add up. Strength training in particular is one of the most crucial to your progress and durability as a runner. Aim to spend 60 to 90 minutes a week lifting heavy things and putting them back down again. Of course, more of your emphasis should be on your legs, but your entire body works hard running, so be sure to get every muscle on board. Your strength sessions can be broken up pretty much any way you like, whether it's two longer sessions a week or 10 minutes every day. It's all beneficial as long as you're consistent. The next part of running faster is running fast. I'll go over that when we come back. Getting in all my daily greens has been one of the best changes I've made to my health and training this year. I know the importance of fruits and vegetables to my overall health and running performance, and you know I try my hardest to eat a variety of fruits and vegetables each day. But if I have to be honest, it doesn't always happen, even for me. That's why using AG1 has been such a huge difference for me this year. Because it's as simple as adding a scoop to my morning glass of water, I am now on a solid streak of getting in my daily recommended serving of fruits and vegetables. Plus, I love the added ease of mind that I get all the micronutrients in, even on the days I do eat lots of fruits and veggies. One scoop of AG1 contains 75 bioavailable vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, greens, superfood blend, and more. I feel healthier, have fewer stomach issues, and I feel like I have more focus and energy throughout the day. It has been a game changer for me this year. If you're someone who struggles to get in all the fruits and veggies you need, or who wants to get more consistent but always falls off, or you end up finding tons of fruits and veggies gone bad in the fridge, AG1 will make it simple and delicious. If you want to try them out and get a special bonus of 5 travel packs and a year's supply of vitamin D, head to athleticgreens.com/RTTT. I know you'll love how easy it will be to finally be consistent with your fruit and veggie intake. Give it a try at athleticgreens.com/RTTT. For those of you entered in our monthly prize giveaway, the secret code for this week is 26.2. If you're not sure what the giveaway or secret code means, head to runnersconnect.net/giveaway. Each month, we're giving away a new grand prize. Plus, you can earn points to unlock free programs, books, RC swag, and more. You can then earn points entering the secret code or by sharing the podcast with your friends, leaving reviews, and more. Again, to see all the details and enter, head to runnersconnect.net/giveaway and get started by entering and then adding this week's secret code, 26.2. By now, you know that lots of easy running will help you get faster at endurance running. But you've also got to run fast every so often. You don't need very much fast running compared to your easy runs, but you do need to work hard at least once a week and sometimes more. Part of what holds most runners back is that they run their easy days at a medium pace, or God forbid, run marathon pace every time they run. You might not think that you're doing anything wrong, but speed is a finite resource. When you spend your speed on a non-speed day, you're stealing your limited reserves of speed for the week. Then when you go to cash in on your speed at the track, it's no wonder you come up short. Set yourself up for success by being as fresh, fueled, and pumped for your speed days as possible. The next thing that holds runners back on their speed days is fear. It could be fear of injury or fear of failure or even fear of success. I've coached athletes that would become positively sick with anxiety before a track workout. If that sounds like you, the first thing to remember is that your workouts are not a test. They are a practice. The only way that you can fail at a track workout is to not go. Yes, you are going to miss your splits at times. You're gonna screw up the instructions. Your watch is gonna go bananas. You are gonna go out way too fast and burn out spectacularly. All of those things will happen, and they are all fantastic practice for the days when everything goes right. So don't take yourself or the track too seriously when it comes to your performance. Show up, work hard, and use what you learn to be better next time. Now, for those runners that are afraid to run fast because of a fear of injury, let's address that. If you are currently injured, you should be afraid of injury and you should get better before running hard. But if you're healthy and you're afraid of re-injury, the best way to handle that is to build your confidence with baby performance steps. Gradually add and increase speed so that your workouts are challenging, but never over the top. Eventually, paces that were once out of reach become manageable and your confidence grows. Then take another baby step, get faster, grow more confidence, and repeat. Besides improving your speed, the other thing you are working on your hard days is speed control. When you learn to meter out your effort so that every interval from your first to the last comes in at the same pace, you're teaching your brain a powerful pacing lesson that will translate to good pacing on race day. After all, speed is not very useful if you can't control it. Track workouts or short interval training are not the only kind of speed that endurance runners need. You'll also want to be sure that you're running stamina runs, which is speed plus endurance. These could be tempo runs, speed in your long runs, or longer intervals. How often you add tempos to your schedule will depend on your fitness and recovery ability, and more is not always better here. A very typical weekly schedule for an intermediate to advanced marathoner would be a track workout on a Tuesday, a tempo run on Thursday, a long run on Saturday or Sunday. The other days would be shorter, easy runs, and most runners will need at least one or two days of no running at all. Of course, elite runners are famous for not taking full rest days very often, and that can work for advanced recreational marathoners at times as well. But this is a high-risk choice, so make sure you're maxing out your other options first. A better idea if you're simply too healthy and have too much energy to take a full rest day is to add a cross-training day. Choose something low impact yet highly aerobic like swimming, cycling, or the elliptical. The very best cross training for runners is deep water running or aqua jogging. So if you have access to a pool with a deep end, that's your best bet. Now, in order to improve as a runner, you might not have to keep adding more and more. It might be simply about changing a few things up. For example, you might not have more time in your schedule to add more miles. Subtracting miles might actually be the best choice for you when you're time crunched so that you can spend a few minutes strength training or making healthier meals or simply de-stressing from your busy life. Running all the miles all the time, even if you do have the time available and you're not getting hurt, can start to have a diminishing effect. And that's what happened to me. I was doing everything that I just told you to do, and then some. Because I didn't have any obvious injuries, I added lots and lots of easy miles and reached a peak of 90 miles a week with track on Tuesday, tempo on Thursdays, and running long on the weekends. Physically, I was in great shape, but the grind started to get to me mentally. The thing that turned it all around for me was letting go. I dropped my weekly mileage by 10 to 20% and cut out that second speed day a week. My ambition to reach my dream goal never wavered, but my fixation on doing everything right all the time was getting in the way. And I'd also stopped having fun. Giving myself grace with my running allowed me to relax about the outcome and really settle into the fitness that I'd worked so hard to build. I knew that the race of my life was inside me. I just had to let it come out. And if I'm being completely honest, I needed a little luck. I needed many things out of my control to go right on race day. And that's why the concept of settling into your fitness is so important. You need to be really solid where you are in order to take advantage of the race day that you're given. If you're always striving for these far out of reach goals, it's far easier to be disappointed because if one little thing goes wrong, and it will, you miss your shot. But if you race with confidence, built from the fitness you know you have, it's a far better race strategy than just hopes and dreams. Becoming a really good runner, whatever that means to you, takes a mix of ingredients that will look different for every runner. So if you're getting the same results, doing the same things you've always done, it might be time to change the recipe. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast with me, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner. Our mission is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Connect with me on Instagram at The Planted Runner and at Runners Connect. Join the Runners Connect team at runnersconnect.net and support our show for free with a review on Apple Podcasts. If you love the show and want to get more free content in your inbox, become one of my favorite listeners and get the elite treatment at runnersconnect.net/podcast. Have a great run today.